Hey, it's episode 184 of the Guardian Project podcast, and I want to show you my chains of custody. Andy!
And watch out for your leftovers. I'm a plundering predator, Mike Coyle.
Please listen carefully.
And this is the podcast about Commander,
our favorite Magic the Gathering format. And this week we are taking a look back at 2022 and we're going to figure out what happened this year.
Honestly, a lot what happened?
It feels like yesterday was last December, and yet here we are today.
This is that small talk that on our last stream I was talking about despising. Listen, okay, so for my job, I have a lot of small talk and it's like, how's the weather? It's
frightful.
The weather outside is frightful. Yeah, and we're recording here and I think it's 21 degrees out and I got my window fully open because upstairs at our studio is warm.
Honestly, 21 degrees is the warmest weather we've had in like 6 days, so I'll take it.
Yeah, the day before Christmas was 2.
Yeah.
And I did not use the hot tub that day. I was afraid my eyelashes would freeze off or something.
I can imagine.
Yes, and we have a new patron. Welcome, Miss Eldritch, to the project.
Welcome. You're part of the assignment.
I feel like our clash at some point should end. But it's, are we forever break. In school?
Are we the teachers that assign a project over winter break?
No, I okay. would never do that.
So there's a new midterms are actually happening before break nowadays. I don't know if you know that, but our local school district is now doing midterms before break. But I remember them always being after break, so I have to like study over the break or whatever, and midterms were in January.
Studying? What is that?
Yeah.
No, studying. I did it in college. I didn't study a whole lot in high school, but yeah. No.
Enjoy your breaks.
So welcome to the project. Thank you so much for your support. Check out our Patreon leagues that are coming up. And thank you to everybody who listens to our show every single week. We really appreciate you being here. Last week's episode, we got so many good comments.
Yes, thank you so much.
Appreciate some people said it was in our top 10. Mm-hmm. Some people said it was one of our funniest episodes ever. So we're really funny.
We are. We're the funniest.
And we really appreciate that you tell us we're funny.
Yeah. And keep commenting that we're funny, even on bad episodes.
Keep telling us, even when the episode's like, okay, so honestly, thank you for being here because some of you listened episodes like 1 through 50.
Yeah.
Some of those were really, really painful.
I won't take credit for the ones I'm not in, but the ones that I am in. There's one in particular that Andy's not in that is extremely painful.
I think it's episode 20. I think it's the worst episode that we have on the show. Not because I'm not there. Just my understanding is it was a total train wreck.
It was fun. It was a fun episode to record.
It was a fun episode. And if you want to support us, you can head to patreon.com/guardianprojectpod. Donate for any dollar amount, which will get you access to lots of cool things. You've got swag. You can get an episode recorded around one of your decks. We'll do a deck tech on it. Mm-hmm. Access to Second Main, our podcast for patrons. And access to all of our Commander Leagues, which are about to start January 1st. We've got a pre-con league, so check it out. We've got, actually, I think right now we've got at least 12 people signed up. So we're going to have 3 different pods that are rotating. Super duper exciting. Yeah. So check it out. Guardian Project Pod over on Patreon.
Yeah. If you like upgraded pre-cons, that's the one we're doing for our January theme. So make sure you get in here and help and compete with us, I guess, or just have fun.
And there's also 88 precons that we did not know until Draco Lucian, one of our lovely patrons, put together a small, I don't even want to say small.
It's not small.
It's a major endeavor. Yep. Put together like a precon database. Mm-hmm. And who knew that there were a Magic Online precon list that were put together from 2009 with Zira Arian and Rubinia Soul Singer. Okay. And those decks, if you look at the base price, they're like $400+ because they have so many good cards. So check it out. I am having decision paralysis and do not know what I'm going to play.
Oh, I'm playing Is It, but I won't tell you much after that. If you're looking for another way to support the podcast, whatever platform you're enjoying the podcast on now, if you could subscribe, rate, review, and leave those wonderful, wonderful comments that we like reading and responding to and liking, we'd really appreciate it. If you want to find us online, you can. You can find us on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter. You can search us up on Google and find our website. You can email us at guardianprojectpod@gmail.com. So come and find us.
I was hoping you were going to just say, if you want to find us online, you can.
You can.
You can.
I mean, do it.
Do
it.
You
know how to use Google.
Do it. You won't.
If you don't know how to use Google, you don't know how to use Scryfall, and I can't help you anymore.
All right, let's figure out what happened in 2022. All right, so we had a lot of products that came out this year. And if we counted correctly, which I think we did here, because I had made a note to have you double check my work.
And I did.
We had 4 main sets, mm-hmm. a ton of supplemental sets, 25 pre-con decks, mm-hmm. and we believe the number's correct, 59 secret layers.
Yep, that number is absolutely correct. And if it's not, you don't comment, then it is.
It's exactly. So we had pre-cons, 2 from Kamigawa Neon Dynasty, 5 from New Capenna, 4 from Baldur's Gate, 2 from Dominaria United, 2 from the Brothers War, 5 Commander starter pre-cons, mm-hmm. 4 from Warhammer 40K. And then if you count, and we are, the heads, mm-hmm. heads I Win, Tails You Lose, mm-hmm. As being a 2022 release, because it was supposed to come out last year, it came out this year. It's either 24, but if mm-hmm. you count that one, the Secret Lair one, it's 25. That is so, I did not realize it was that many pre-cons. Mm-hmm. And with 88 total pre-cons being in existence, 25 of them coming from this year, that's more than a quarter.
Yeah. Yeah. It's huge. It's ridiculous that it was all printed this year. But I mean, I don't think Baldur's Gate was supposed to be our commander product for this year. New Capenna was our commander product for this year. And so Baldur's Gate being a supplemental product brought 4 brand new decks.
I love it.
The starter decks and 40K. I mean, that definitely had, the starter decks are very cool.
Actually, the starter decks are really...
They're awesome.
It's a really great product.
And they're not bringing any new cards into the set or anything. So there's no, you know, 15 exclusive cards in this commander deck or whatever. So I don't know. It doesn't feel too overwhelming to me personally, that amount of commander products. And maybe it's just because of how it was presented and how we got it. And probably because I'm very, very jaded when it comes to the 40K stuff. And that was just icing on the top for me.
Jaded?
Well, maybe jaded is the wrong word.
Yeah, I think it is, because okay. You loved that.
Rose-colored glasses.
You're prioritizing them above all. Yeah, I think. Yeah.
I like them no matter what.
Yeah, no matter. I like them no matter what you say. They are always good. Yes. Okay, let's talk about our main sets. So The first set that we got this year was Kamigawa Neon Dynasty. Honestly,
killed it.
I could not be any happier with this set.
Yeah, it was very cool. Lots of really cool brand new legendary creatures.
Lots of powerful cards that just go into commander decks, like the rare channel land cycle, which I would say I think appears in almost every single one of my decks.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little on the expensive side, some of them, not all of them.
They are now. When you bought them, if you bought them like me and you were like, no, I think this is going to be really expensive, just buy a bunch of them.
Yeah.
But Otawara is a $17 card now, mm-hmm. and Boseiju is a $35 card.
But I imagine Sokinzan's pretty affordable.
That's the only $2. $3.50 on Card Kingdom, $2, you know, on TCG Player. They are not budget deck,
no,
like cards. They're not budget lands. And I love them. They work with Commander. They care about legendary creatures, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love just so good.
I really, really like that there's one for every color here. I think Kamigawa really knocked it out of the park with their monocolor legendary creatures, too. On top of the fact that they also killed it with their multicolor legendary creatures. They did not miss on this set.
Honestly, this set was a total hit.
Yep.
I don't have any negatives about Neon Dynasty. The story was great. The art was great. We got a return to a set. We got to see some old creatures, you know, or learn lore about them. We got to see some new stuff.
Brand new modified mechanic was awesome. Still is awesome today.
Really good. Really good. And then next we had Streets of New Capenna. Streets of New Capenna was the set that gave us more 3-color legends. Jetmir, Rafine, Ziatora. Really good. Falco, Spara, Lord Xander were the leaders of their houses.
Yeah. So this one threw a lot of multicolored legendary creatures into our face all at the same time, which I know, Andy, you particularly shy away is not the
right
phrase.
I shy away from 3-color and plus mm-hmm. decks. I tend to stay at 1 and 2-color decks. And I think going into 2023, I think that still holds true. I would just prefer to play 1 and 2-color. One, it's easier on the budget. Mm-hmm. And two, it's less that I have to think about putting in.
It's true.
You know, it's a lot less brain power to put into building a deck.
Yeah, you play Kodama's Reach and you don't have to decide what kind of basic you're going. You have two. One is going on the battlefield, one's going to my hand, grabbing one of each. It's fine.
And we got our most popular Angel Commander of all time in Giada, Font of Hope. Yeah,
very cool.
Also the most popular commander according to EDH Rec from Streets of New Capenna. And you predicted, or I guess last year when we did our wish list episode on what we're hoping to see, mm-hmm. you were hoping that we were going to get the rest of our Triome cycle. And yes, we did with Rafine's Tower, Jetmir's Garden, Zeotora's Proving Ground, Spar's Headquarters, and Xander's Lounge. We got our cycling three color tapped rare lands.
Extremely happy.
Wonderful.
Yes, we still need a bunch of the two color lands. I don't remember if it's the ally or enemy ones that we need more.
You want the ones that's going to be black and white.
Yeah, whatever, if that's allies or enemies. I don't remember. White, blue, black.
They are enemy because allies are opposite. Next to each other, yep. and enemies are across. So Mike wants more
enemy
color
lands.
Fetchable dual color lands.
They can enter tapped. I don't care if they enter tapped. It's fine. It's fine.
So Streets of New Capenna was great, and then we moved on to Dominaria United.
Yeah, so a return of all of these wonderful legendary creatures of Dominaria's past in the standard set, on top of the fact that we got a bunch of legends retold that came with this set, some of the really old, we were talking a little bit before this, not sure if all of them are actually dead or not.
Yeah, but we don't know a ton. I mean, we did an episode on the lore. Looking back now, I'm not sure whether the lore was current timeline, past timeline, or just,
but it's difficult to tell because you have pseudo immortal characters in Magic the Gathering. So
you do. And we got one of the most popular commanders that came out this year, Jota the Unifier. One of the new legendary stars of your five color Morrifon humans deck.
Didn't think I was getting a new win condition this year. Sure did.
And on stream, it did what it was supposed to do.
This card's insane. This is remove on. It's like people read this card and went, this card looks like remove on site. And then you play it and it's like if you can counter it actually before it even gets on site, that would be great.
We got Ivy, Gleeful Spell Thief, which is a very popular Simic commander.
I have not played against it yet this year.
I've only seen it on streams. Okay. Haven't seen it either. Shieldred the Apocalypse. I haven't played against it as a commander, but I played it in a commander game just recently and ended up taking the game after doing almost nothing for the entire game. Shieldred came out and it was like, oh, I
stabilize.
I see what happened.
Every mono black standard player says, at four, I stabilize. Don't worry. I also like Radadrabic of Urborg from this set. I've seen it more in the 99 than I have in the 100 that cares about bringing your legendary creatures back as non-legendary tokens.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite cards from this set.
This set had a lot going on. And then the fourth standard set of this year was the Brothers War, which gave us more new fun commanders, brought back the meld mechanic.
Very cool. And a meld mechanic that we mentioned can be done with one of the pieces in your command zone. It fits the color scheme and everything.
Yeah, three different times with Urza, Lord Protector, Mishra, Claimed by Gix, and Titania, Voice of Gaia. The card that melds with it can go into the deck, which is super popular. And then also we got a new land that I think goes into all of my decks, which is Demolition Field.
Yes,
honestly, so good.
Very strong.
So good. And then supplemental sets, we had Neon Dynasty Commander, Universes Within, which was Stranger Things this year. We had New Capenna commander Legend Battle for Baldur's Gate, Double Masters 2022, Dominaria United Commander, Warhammer 40k Unfinity Transformers, which also came out alongside the Brothers War, Jumpstart 2022, and then the Commander Starter decks.
Yeah, in case we didn't.
That all happened in 2022.
Yeah, and I feel like we're already talking about the next set that's coming out in, what, January, February?
January
timeframe?
With, is it?
All Will Be One, Phyrexia, Will Be One. Yeah. We'll just call it One.
One.
That one set.
Yeah, it's really good. So Neon Dynasty Commander had some really strong commanders. One that I've been told I should switch Neon BSD and Speaker to, which is Shorokai Genesis Engine. They're like best friends.
Similar, yeah.
They should have friends forever.
Oh, so you could play both of them in your command zone?
Duh.
Sure, why not?
That'd be really fun. it was funny because I played games with Neonbi this year, and Neonbi came out, did her thing once, maybe. I don't even know if I activated it. You were in this game just recently. And then Neonbi died and I drew Shorokai. And I was like, I play Shorokai. And you guys didn't have removal for an artifact. And I just never turned it into a creature.
Perfect.
And Mike goes, well, I guess that's just Neonbi part two.
It's Neonbi part. It is.
It's just also good. But you also make a pilot.
It is. It's so it's like because it's one more mana doesn't have
no,
flash
it's
speed.
Less mana.
Oh, it's actually it less. Have
flash. Yeah, it costs okay. one to activate Shorakai, three to activate Niambi. Niambi has flash. Shorakai is not a creature.
Well, I mean, just the casting cost for the creatures is only what.
Oh,
I was
one extra
right, the activation.
Yeah. Yeah, the activation's way less on yeah. Shorakai and colorless. Mm-hmm. It doesn't require all three. And with Niambi, you have to discard three. Shorakai is draw two, discard one.
And Shorakai could potentially be what? Is it like an 11 toughness creature? Seven. Toughness
I think it's
creature?
An 8/8.
It's big. It's a big
it's yeah it's really big. Big it's really big
but yeah no the but even on the other side of that precon Chishiro was the other precon in there, and the Chishiro precon kicks butt right out of the box. I played against the Chishiro precon probably 4 or 5 times this year, and it's either like the finalist in the game, second place in the game, or the winner almost every time.
It's equipment and aura, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's both equipment and aura.
Plus one, plus one. It's modified.
And yeah, and it makes spirits, correct? Is that what it makes when you do it?
Elementals, spirits, something like that.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly, but it's the Gruul Commander deck from
Kamigawa Neon Dynasty.
From Kamigawa Neon Dynasty. And I have lost, I would also say I've lost quite a bit to that. Probably, it feels like on par power-wise as like Breena the Demagogue, but just being in Gruul because mm-hmm. it does Commander Voltron things.
It really does. It, by the way, they are 2/2 red spirit creature tokens with menace.
Oh, even better. Yeah, not 1/1 stupid ground spirits. They've got Menace and they are on the ground. So really good. And then Universes Within, which was the Stranger Things. Now we got them as friends forever, but in Innistrad lore.
Yes.
So we got... there's been a lot of discussion on the Universes Within because we got the Universes Within Street Fighter.
Oh, it's... Yeah, that's coming out in 1, right? It's being released as 1, the Street Fighter...
Yeah, that's coming. I guess, yeah, it doesn't come out this year. That's coming out soon.
Yeah.
And I like those.
I like those a lot.
I don't know which one I like more story, like image-wise.
Like in terms of the Stranger Things magic versions versus the Street Fighter magic version? Or are you saying Street Fighter art versus non-Street Fighter magic art?
I like the in-Magic Universe art of both.
Yes, I agree with you. I think they really did well with the in-Magic Stranger Things. And I was worried that they weren't going to do just as well of a job with the Street Fighter, because I like the Street Fighter characters even on Magic cards. I think they kind of at least make more sense to me than the Stranger Things characters in the Magic universe, because they're at least in some sort of fantasy being from a video game. But I think that the cards that they produced here, the Abomination that they had for Blanca's card now looks really cool. They did a really good job with those.
Yeah. And then Streets of New Capenna Commander was cool. We got 5 decks there. I've played against most. I mean, you built Henzi.
Mm-hmm.
I've played against Inhalo a bunch. I built Tivit, Seller of Secrets. I mean, I think I built Beamtown Bullies, which mm-hmm. We call that Fund instead of Jund. Fund,
oh,
because
fun.
We enjoyed this more than what Jund typically does.
Sure.
Although it's very, very not, you know, traditional. You built Oscar Rubbish Reclaimer mm-hmm. as Sleeveless.
My Sleeveless deck. Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen, I would say I have seen of these commanders that came out this year. Mm-hmm. I think I've seen Fabian Boss's Confident the most.
Oh yeah.
That card is crazy.
Yeah. It
and
is.
I don't care that it costs 6 mana. It does everything.
Mm-hmm.
Friend of the show, Claybee, mm-hmm. plays Fabine's Boss's Confidant from CNC Power Hour, and that deck is bananas. Our patron, Decane, plays Fabine. I have played against Fabine at our LGS,
mm-hmm.
just people coming onto our stream.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if Fabine was the most played against, and I have to look it up, Commander from Streets of New Capenna Commander that I played against.
I guarantee,
and I think
it
it's
for me,
and I don't even think it's close.
Well, Henzi might only because you play with me so
correct
much, but that would be it. That would be the only one, so I definitely don't have that risk.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's going to be Fabine for me. But after that, we got Commander Legends Battle for Baldur's Gate, which brought us 4 new commander decks on top of the draft environment with brand new legendaries. We got Background, so like kind of an alternate to Partners this year. Most of my commander decks that I built this year came from this set.
Yeah, and I think the only reason I played against it so much is because of your decks,
mm-hmm.
honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've played against Will, Blade of Frontiers more than any other.
Yep.
And then aside from that, I think the only card from the set that I've seen more than any other outside of like playing as Partners mm-hmm. is Lazelle, Valkith's Champion, which cares about putting counters on planeswalkers. Mm. It's like double counters on planeswalkers. And I've played against that a few times in Super Friends decks.
Yes.
That include the color white.
That's true.
And
that's
it's
true.
Really strong. It says if you put one or more counters on a creature or planeswalker you control or on yourself, put that many plus one of each kind instead. So it truly works like you wish, like doubling season works. Yes. with loyalty counters.
Yeah, when you activate it. Yeah.
When you activate it, you actually get two. This set had a lot of good things. Black Market Connections.
Yeah.
The card continues to be really good.
It's fantastic. There is a legendary creature that can allow you to choose a background printed in every single one of the pre-cons as well, which some of them don't mix and match too well. I think the red-green, like the mono-green guy from the red-green deck, doesn't mix and match too well with other backgrounds.
Durnan of the Yawning Portal.
He cares about things being cast or coming in from exile, so you really need specific backgrounds
for that. Well, the background, I think, is what cares about things being cast from exile. Durnan itself just says when it attacks, you look at the top four cards of your library and put one into exile.
Okay.
It just says you can cast them and the spell will have Undaunted, so it costs less.
Okay.
But it doesn't really I think that pre-con's really good.
It is.
And I think of them, of the four that came out with mm-hmm. this set, that's the one that I've played with the most.
Sure.
So I am probably a little biased, but I think Durnan with Passionate Archaeologist is very good. You also managed this year to build an Abdul Adrian deck that was just as miserable as any other Azorius deck Mike has ever built. Yes. I said, if I never saw that deck again, wouldn't be sad.
You know, on top of that, we got Displacer Kitten, an extra way to blink all of our stuff, and Blur, an extra blink spell to both go into your Abdul Adrian and Candlekeep Sage decks.
Yeah. No, I'd be okay.
Oh, and then I do have to say, reprint of the Commander Legends of the Battle Bond lands was
so
also
good.
Really, really good.
I think so good.
Often overlooked because they became very, very affordable because of this set.
Yes. And then Double Masters 2022 gave us a couple cool reprints, lots of legendary creatures reprinted, just lots of good stuff. Honestly, cards that people play, Smothering Tithe, Chaos Warp, Path to Exile, Teferi's Protection was in there, Dockside Extortionist, we got another copy of
Imperial Seal reprint, finally
Mana Drain,
very cool
Sensei's Divining Top, Damnation, Cavern of Souls. The set had a lot of stuff. I don't typically buy these types of sets because of the increased cost.
Costs a lot. The collector collector booster boxes had four packs in Double Masters, not 12. Four packs in the collector booster boxes, but they cost the same as all the other collector boosters.
Expensive, but lots of cool stuff. And then Dominaria United Commander. We got two precons, Jared Carthalia and Dehada, Binder of Wills. But honestly, I got to say the Legends Retold, which are kind of part of the Dominaria United mm-hmm. Commander, were really the hit for me
this year.
I think building Hazazon Shaper of Sand,
cool.
which is so much fun. Mm-hmm. It did its thing on stream. I was worried it wasn't going to do anything. And I find that Hazazon doesn't do a lot unless I have the creatures like Witty Roastmaster, Purphoros, or the Enchantment Impact Tremors, because I need to be able to do something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not running the version that donates away a single desert so that I can have unblockable. I probably should look at like Harmless Offering to donate something away. I just didn't build it that way.
I'm surprised there's not a creature out there that doesn't put like a desert counter on the land to turn it into a desert by now, like they have with flood counters to turn things into islands.
It's possible they do, and I just didn't look it up. To be
fair, I don't think they do. I think you're good. I think you're safe.
Yeah, I mean, from this set, I've seen Jared Carthalion a couple of times, but of these like Legends Retold, I think the one that I've seen the most is Greensleeves Morrow Sorcerer, because it just works in landfall decks. Protection from planeswalkers, wizards, power equal to the number of lands you control, and when a land enters, you get a 3/3 green badger. We've got Simic Landfall, we've got Gruul Landfall, we have four color landfall, mono green. I mean, we have mono green lands. I think landfall might continue to be one of my favorite mechanics.
It's nice.
But green sleeves is kind of everywhere. I'm glad I picked them up before they became like an $18 card.
Mm-hmm. I did like the fact that the commander decks had planeswalkers as commanders, and I'm typically one that's against planeswalkers as commanders.
And I am not.
But they designed them very, very good, in my opinion. Very well. They designed them very well, in my opinion. But on top of those planeswalkers as commanders, there were some really cool legendary creatures that got printed in those sets as well. There's a new Carthalion that only costs green white to cast, but it has five color identity, which mm-hmm. is really cool. I got Varric Warped Sengir from the Dehada pre-con, which is my black white white landfall deck, which has turned into something very cool. It didn't start off great, but I think it's really cool.
It started out, yeah, it really did start out kind of slow. Yeah, and it was meh. And on one stream, if you check out the stream, it just, Mike was like, I got all my lands now. Yep. And then nothing really happened, but you changed it up quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And we played against it about a month ago, mm-hmm. maybe a month and a half ago now. And it did way more.
Yes. Turns out card draw is good, and I needed more of it in my deck. Yeah. The next set here, Warhammer 40K, came out, introducing four brand new decks, a ton of brand new cards in these four decks, some really cool reprints, very affordable of the two color talismans in the Esper colors and the Grixis colors, if you're looking for cheaper talismans there. But a lot of brand new legendary creatures came out.
So many. Too. And I learned so much about 40K, which is, you know, it's a different hobby mm-hmm. that I didn't know much about. I know a lot more about it now from our show, from other shows, from mm-hmm. just you talking even offline. Oh, yeah. I learned it's very expensive.
It's extremely, you know, I used to play the 40K hobby, and I thought there's no hobby more expensive than 40K. Magic is beyond more expensive than 40K. And then you said,
let me join a podcast and then spend all my money on this hobby.
You could play 40K for about $500 for the rest of your life.
I will say, I see a lot of these 40K cards popping up in a lot more decks now. They there's a lot of like just like cool cards mm-hmm. that do cool things. I did not purchase all the 40K decks, but I did purchase singles.
Yes.
So I do have quite a few singles. There's cards that work really well. And not surprising, the most popular commander from 40K is mm-hmm. Gearson Starn Keller Morph,
yeah.
which is not a face commander.
No.
And you have to change that because you're taking a color away from the deck that mm-hmm. it's in.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool commander that has ward, and whenever a source you control deals exactly one damage to a permanent or player, Gearson Starn Keller Morph deals two damage to that permanent or player. I haven't played against that deck myself, but I've been at our LGS and I've seen it at other tables so many times.
Does it do work? Or does everyone see it and they're like, we gotta kill that person?
No,
first?
I'm pretty sure it does work.
Okay.
Sure it's doing the thing. I think the commander that I played against the most is this Marnius Kelgar.
Yeah,
the one that makes the Astartes warrior tokens with vigilance mm-hmm. and it's just Esper.
You just draw cards whenever tokens come into play. That's it.
Yeah.
Isn't it great?
Yeah, it's really great.
And that's what he also has double strike. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't make... Marnius Kelgar does not need double strike, and I'm putting my foot down.
Next was Unfinity, though. Unfinity was so much fun. I think our show went really hard on Unfinity. I think we got some cool mechanics with attractions and with stickers. They were way more confusing than we actually thought. You know, before we had recorded that episode, I struggled really hard to mm-hmm. care about reading how attractions worked.
And so I built two decks to force you to do it.
And then the attractions deck crushed on our stream. We did an Unfinity stream. The Most Dangerous Gamer and Myra the Magnificent mm-hmm. both did a lot. Magar of Magic Strings is really cool. We already had a rules change for a card. Captain Rex Nebula had a clarification on how the crash land mechanic works. And we got to see stickers with Ambassador Blorpity Blorp Boop.
Boop, not Bloop.
Not Bloop.
Boop.
Boop.
Correct.
And both of the commanders at Coil built, I like way more than the one that I built. And both times I was like, do you care if I build these decks? And he's like, no. Because we try to build not the same decks, but also they were just like really cool.
Hey, if you could build a Myra deck that doesn't take 2 hours to win on the turn that you win with, I say I'll take mine apart so that you can have it.
And our top picks, honestly, from Unfinity, and I think these were probably the cards that we were most excited for this mm-hmm. year, and I have not even drawn mine yet in the deck that I put it in. For me, it was Starlight Spectacular, which is you line all your creatures up, and starting with the first one to the last one, they get +1/+1, and then it goes, then two, mm-hmm. then three, then four. But honestly, I remember, and I think you've played it, is Monitor, which has once each turn you may pay one, a reroll one or more dice. Have you played it yet?
I wish I've played that card. It's one of the, I've definitely played with a bunch of
I remember
Unfinity
you were
cards.
So excited for this card.
Okay, the fact that it gives you a reroll is better because it allows you to reroll any dice that you want it allows you to reroll all of the dices for that roll. So if you have 12 copies of Will, that allows you to roll an extra dice and you take the highest roll, you get to roll 13 dice with one mana on that creature. You get to roll the 13 dice again, a second time, all 13. That's why it's so strong. I haven't seen it yet. The time I do see it will be the time that I don't have 12 copies of Will on the battlefield.
Exactly. But, now we're getting a little later in the year. So some of these cards that we're going to talk about now from these sets haven't really seen a ton of actual time.
Sure.
Pass,
maybe
right?
Not so, even made it in a deck yet,
possibly. Right, so Transformers, you've probably only seen a single Transformers deck, which was mine, Blitzwing, mm-hmm. Cruel Tormentor, which is funny because if you look at the top commanders, mm-hmm. and the commanders built, it is actually the least built commander.
Oh interesting on EDH rack
hmm. But it's the commander that essentially says at the end of your turn, target opponent loses life equal life they lost this turn. So I'm trying to make an opponent lose half their life rounded up, and then they just lose. I did get my first win recently with that deck, which is what I was mentioning, that Shieldred earlier. It was like Dirtle McDirtle Fest. I did nothing. And then I was like, all right, I'll play Shieldred. And everybody's like, oh, okay.
That's not Dirtle McDirtle Fest anymore.
Yeah, but it was Shieldred on like turn 9 after I had missed so many landers. Have you seen any Transformers decks yet other than mine?
I haven't seen a Transformers deck. I haven't seen a Transformers card in the 99 either, though. So I haven't seen a Transformers. I mean, I'm not even sure I put Goldbug into my humans deck yet.
No. It has not been very long.
It's true.
The thing is, we've had more experience with some of the earlier sets that were released.
But we also got Jumpstart 2022 even more recently than that, with a ton of brand new legendary creatures that, similar to the first Jumpstart, are monocolored but have two color identity in their activation ability, like Kibo, Uktabi Prince, which is our monkey noble that is, has Gruul in its colorless artifact banana token that it makes, but it's mono green on the face. But also some really cool reprints happening here. I know we talked about some of our cards already from Jumpstart 2022, but Pirated Copy, I think, is my favorite card from the set, that, you know, makes copies. It's another clone card, but it's a pirate, and it actually has a lot of implications being
I haven't gotten a copy of it yet, okay. But I am very much looking forward to adding that.
Very good.
We have the Brothers War Commander, which has Urza Chief Artificer and Mishra Eminent One. If you listen to our second main episode, we did an episode on three different builds of Ashnod the Uncaring.
Oh yeah.
I did just this year play against both the precon Urza and Mishra, and both the precon of each deck crushed a fully built version of decks at the other three players.
Yeah,
I mean,
they're insane.
The Mishra deck in particular was one that we could not find a way to stop the engine at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't close.
Mm-hmm.
And we had somebody that was like, someone couldn't lose the game if something happened, or someone couldn't win the game. I forget which card was out. It didn't matter. Still just died.
But yeah, I did really enjoy getting the Ashnod from that Grixis, that Mishra precon. Three brews. None of them are in paper yet. But we also got the Commander starter decks, five decks that were 100% reprints, helmed by some of our favorite two color legendaries that we got, all very strong. Maybe not up to par with how precons have been built recently. You see two mana ramp in a lot of those ones, which you haven't seen in a ton of years past. Talisman, Soul Rings, all that kind of
Spiria
jazz.
Flyers was cool. Mm-hmm. I have not played against any of them, and I did not purchase any. The only reason is our local group that we play with, our friends, all have pretty significant collections. And so I didn't have anybody that I had in mind to get a starter deck for this year. But I do need to get the alternate artworks because I run every single one of those commanders in a deck. Gies and Gerolf's in there.
Nice.
Really good cards. I think it's a great product. I'm happy to see that product.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Now let's talk about some of the top cards from this year. So our favorite set from 2022... I'll start.
Sure.
This one for me, I don't think it was close for me, was Kamigawa Neon Dynasty.
Yeah.
The set has everything that I like. A return to an old plane, powerful cards, new commanders, great story. And I think the fact that I put a card from this set into every single one of my decks, which is very similar to like the last time I had this, was Zendikar Rising.
Mm-hmm.
Because the MDFCs went into every deck, and I still stand by that. And MDFC, I start with MDFCs before I even put the basics in.
Nice.
I put the MDFCs in. I think they're really good, but I put in the channel lands. not always the green,
sure,
or the blue, because they're at this point they are very, very expensive.
They are.
But if I'm playing it through the Moxfield playtester, I'm putting them in.
Yeah, why not?
I absolutely love those. And I think I have one in every single one of my decks. And if you do look at my deck list on Moxfield, if you do see one that doesn't have it, it's because I just haven't gotten to that deck.
Put a comment on that
to honestly upgrade it yet. But the rare land cycle was fantastic. We've got three color commanders with hybrid activated costs, lots of cool combos, lots of. It was Neon Dynasty. I love it.
Us, even story-wise, we got our first completed
Planeswalker. Yeah, with Tamio.
We found out who the Wanderer is. We got brand new Planeswalker Kaito. Really, really like that plane for the lore, too.
Yeah.
But my favorite set from this year, I don't know if you could guess, not Warhammer 40K, but Commander Legends Battle for Baldur's Gate.
Yeah.
I have five brand new decks and one revamped deck that I built from this set. Will and Shameless Charlatan, Abdul Adrian and Candlekeep Sage, Shadowheart, Dark Justicar and Dungeon Delver, Baelith Baratel and Master Chef, Ellen Harbreeze and Haunted One, and I turned my zombie deck commander into Sivris Nightmare Speaker and Shameless Charlatan, which I've only played once. It didn't do great. I want to keep playing with it again and see how it does. But it was a really fun set to draft, and I would really like to draft it again in the future. We already talked about how we got the Battle Bond lands reprinted in here, some other pretty cool reprints in here, some cool cards. The gates. We had so many gates in this set.
Got lots of gates. Like, honestly, 2022 was a very good year.
Yeah,
for Commander.
Yeah.
So good.
So all those like niche win condition corner cases that you had or whatever, there should be support for them now. Like gates. There's more gates.
Exactly. All right. Favorite card released in 2022. I want to hear what you say. Okay. I'm curious. This one was hard because I had to go through. I spent a lot of time trying to figure out my favorite card, and I don't think this one is getting as much credit as it deserves, but I want to know what you think.
I know the card I picked is, like, maybe not in the mainstream it's getting credit, but according to its price and its availability, it's definitely getting credit
okay.
where credit is due. And that is Irenicus's Vile Duplication from Baldur's Gate.
Oh my gosh, so good.
Yeah, I also was having trouble picking my favorite card. That card popped in my head and I went, I play that in like six decks, ones that don't even necessarily care about making a clone or anything. So it's for three and a blue. You get to make a clone of a creature that you control, except it's non-legendary and it has flying. You just slap some wings on your commander or something. I run this in so many of my decks, like I said. And it's the fact that it's non-legendary. If your commander has a static ability or something that you're building your deck around, why not have two of them instead?
I've put it into a few decks and it's really nice because it's non-legendary when you make that token. So I can put it into Azorius Legends. Because why not have two Jyn Gataxias or two?
Yeah. Even if it's not something legendary. Oh, I have a Blightsteel Colossus, but my opponent has so many blockers. How about a flying Blightsteel Colossus? Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah, that's really good. So I'm gonna pull a mic here.
Oh, you got two cards.
No. I have four, but I'm gonna just mention the three that didn't make my list, which was Demolition Field.
Okay.
Really, really great.
Yep.
Black Market Connections, fantastic card.
Mm-hmm.
And then Plaza of Heroes, I really, really like that card. Yep. It's protection on your commander. It's another command tower, as long as your commander is, you know, in whatever colors you need. And you're likely playing other legendary creatures, so it's not useless. But my favorite card from this year, because it has done so much work for me, is March of Swirling Mist. Okay. It is the blue instant from Neon Dynasty for X and blue. It says, as an additional cost to cast this, you may exile any number of blue cards from your hand. I never do that. And it costs two less for each card exiled this way. Again, I just don't do that.
Yeah.
But it says up to X target creatures phase out. So I can protect my creatures from a board wipe. I can protect them from spot removal. Or I can phase your stuff out at instance B when you're about to do something really nasty. It's going to give me 10 infect, or it's going to be 21 commander damage, or just whatever small amount of life that I have left.
Heck yeah.
I run this now. I will say I probably give it a bit more credit than most folks are seeing because I run it in Khazar Royal Chaser, which is making my X spells cost less. Likely phase out, you know, 10 plus number of creatures, so I can play it politically to help save somebody else's things with mine. But I will say I have not done that yet this year.
Okay.
I have only saved my own things.
That's fair.
And it's always been to a board wipe,
sure,
or someone just saying, I need you to not be able to reduce your next spell by 50.
Do you oftentimes have to do like 10 creatures or something worth of protection?
No, it just happens to end up being that Kazik and Tappan
It could be 50 creatures, but really you're only saving like 3 creatures at a time.
Yeah, I'm probably only saving 3 or 4. And Kazu does really, really struggle if I don't have like at least 3 wizards. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I had to do that. Let's talk about our favorite commander.
Yeah, what was your favorite
that was released this year? So it's not one that I play, but I've played against it quite a few times. And I think it might be a top commander for many, many years to come because of how popular its creature type is. Mm-hmm. And that's Miriam Sentinel Worm. This is the Temur Dragon Spirit, flying ward 2/6/6. And it says whenever another non-token dragon enters under your control, create a token that's a copy of it, except that token isn't legendary if that dragon is legendary. So it's like Arrhenicus's Vile Duplication, but on a dragon spell and just casting them.
It is cast, not ETB. Right?
No, it's whenever it enters. So it's ETB. ETB.
Okay,
that's stronger. Even it's ETB. And I remember when this came out and folks were like, it's just Temur, it's not 5 colors, so we can't play it. You know, it's Sion and the Ur-Dragon are doing more because they have black and white. You have access to Skitherix and you have access to dragons that are in all colors. I honestly don't know if I've won against a Miriam deck. And I have to look at my spreadsheet to see that. But Miriam has been great. Every time I see it, it's really fun. And we see this in Commander Legends Battle for Baldur's Gate draft in one of our drafts.
Yeah.
And it was so supported.
Yeah. It was, I mean, because there's three different color combinations, two color combinations you can play dragons with. So if you got Miriam, the 3 color combination became Temur. So yeah, it's super supported.
Exactly. And I just think that this is a massively popular commander. Huge. Dragons are wildly popular.
Maybe one day they won't be. No,
Mike Shiggins said no.
They will be popular.
So I think Miriam's my favorite commander that came out this year. I didn't build it, but every time I see it, it's so cool just seeing some crazy giant dragon. You're like, I have two.
Now there's two
ancient brass dragon or ancient gold dragon. That's the red one.
Ancient gold dragon's the white one. Ancient brass dragon is the red one.
Okay, I was right. Okay, what's the black one?
The black one's ancient bronze dragon.
Bronze, brass. Okay, yeah. So brass. Yeah, I've seen two ancient brass dragon out, and I was like, oh, we are in danger. Ancient red dragon.
Ancient red dragon.
The copper dragon. The ancient copper dragon.
I was wrong all over the place.
Was bronze green?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Bronze is green and red is white. No, I don't know. The red dragon, the ancient red dragon is really good. We've seen that. I saw it at Command Fest Indy. I've seen this deck on all over. Yeah. Really good. How about you?
My favorite commander, I am going to pull a mic here too, because I picked two. It's Myra the Magnificent and Ambassador Blorpy Blorpboop.
Oh, two Unfinity
commanders. Just because my two Unfinity commanders are probably my favorite. I never expect to like Unfinity sets. I'm usually pretty anti-Unfinity, if I'm being honest. But the fact that there was black border cards that worked really well, and I like intricate mechanics. I know they can be really complicated, but I like new mechanics and learning new things, and throwing myself into the pool with attractions and stickers was a lot of fun. And being the hipster deck builder too, not a lot of people were building them, so it was kind of fun to just have them and no one else had them. So
yeah, really cool cards.
Very much so. Okay. We also wanted to talk about maybe one of the most overhyped cards of the year. I know I have one.
I have an overhyped card. All right. Tell me which one you think. Okay. So there's always a card that's going to break Commander. And yes. Everybody on Twitter and says it's going to break Commander. And it doesn't, unless you're always tutoring for it. I mean, there's always controversy. I mean, to be fair, if you go to Twitter, you can find controversy.
That's true, about anything.
If you just open the app, you're like, oh, I'm going to close the app. But I want to know what card you think was most overhyped this year.
Okay. So mine wouldn't be something that's like game winning or anything, but everyone thought this card was going to be the best next Rhystic Study, I believe it was. And this was Archivist of Ogmaw from Baldur's Gate. This is the 2-mana flash I believe it's a gnome that says whenever an opponent searches their library, you get to draw a card. And everyone thought, oh man, because of fetch lands and everything, I'm going to get to draw 20 cards off of this Archivist of Ogma. And I don't know if I've ever seen it draw a card.
Yeah, so I played it in a game with you once.
Yeah.
And I got on like turn 7. Yeah. I drew zero cards. Yeah, so I was like, no!
Exactly.
I just wanted to draw
one. I mean, maybe if you got it out on turn 2 against a landfall deck, it would be good. But that's such a niche corner case that this card was so overhyped. I think it's still probably a few dollars. I mean, it's still a 2-mana flash creature.
It's a $10 card.
Yeah, and it still will probably draw you a card if you play it in the right environment.
Yeah.
People were talking about, like in CDH, people search for this stuff all the time, but you're probably not flashing out a 2-mana 2/2 that can draw you a couple cards.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that metagame. No. I have no idea how CDH is working right now, what the chatter is.
Maybe it's a Winota creature somewhere.
But mine is Bootlegger Stash.
Okay.
So an artifact for 6 mana, 5 and a green. It says land you control, I have tap, create a treasure token.
Mm-hmm.
I was very excited for this card. Yeah. And I put it into a deck. I put it into Aedrix and Nev Twincasters.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of discussion on, I can't believe this is being printed. I can't believe this is a thing. And honestly, I've never drawn it.
Mm-hmm.
And we had someone play it on stream with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they made 10 or 15 treasures.
Mm-hmm.
But we kind of all went for them after we saw it happening. Which, I mean, you do. When you see it, you're like, this is definitely going to be a problem if they... But it turns out after they had been taken out, when you saw their hand, it was like, I have nothing.
Right.
It was like, okay. And that's fair. And that happens too.
They did have some interesting implications with it, because they had something where they would get something extra if treasure was spent to cast it or something. It's like, well, instead of using my lands to cast the spell, I'll use my lands to make treasures and then use those to cast the spell. So it's a corner case card, I think. I don't think it's a card that goes in every deck. Sure, it makes your lands into like pseudo crew fixes, I guess, because crew fix lets you move your mana from phase to phase, so you can turn your lands into pseudo crew fixes by making them into treasures.
Maybe.
But for a lot of mana, for an enchantment that's very removable.
For an artifact,
even more removable.
All right, let's talk about strongest card. And so when I decided strongest card of the year for Commander and how it affects Commander, I actually went with card that most consistently performed for me.
Sure.
And when I saw it on other people's battlefields, I was like, this always does something cool. Mm-hmm. It might not always win, but it performed really well and it does lots of cool things. For me, that's Ruthless Technomancer.
Oh, yeah.
From Neon Dynasty Commander, a 2/4 human wizard for 3 and a black. When it enters the battlefield, you may sack another creature you control. If you do, create a number of treasure tokens equal to that creature's power. And you can pay 3, sacrifice X artifacts, return a creature from with power X or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. X can't be 0. And I found that if I play this in my Jaren Corrupted Bishop deck, mm-hmm. and I did this at Command Fest Indy, and I've done it, I think I've done it 3 times now. No tutors. It happens to work.
Sure.
Is that Ruthless Technomancer paired with Wall of Blood, which allows me to pay X life to make its power greater.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I have a life exchange card,
mm-hmm.
it's just really good. So I made like Wall of Blood like 30 power at one point.
Yeah.
And then I played Ruthless Technomancer. I sacrificed it and made 30 treasures.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to bring it back from the graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was able to use the treasures to cast like Profane Transfusion,
oh, yeah.
give some of my 10 life or 5 life, whatever it was, mm-hmm. steal up to theirs, whatever they were at, and then just kind of steamroll.
Yeah.
Because you can then continue, if you can draw enough cards, I run Necropotence in that deck, I run ways to draw. That was my issue in Mono Black, was sure. like, I need to draw, so I've got Sign in Blood, I've mm-hmm. got Read the Bones, all those cards.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, I still have 21 treasures. Like it's like I made 30, I think Profane Transfusion's 9, I had like 21.
Sure,
I was like, well, let's
sure.
just keep drawing and seeing yeah. what I can do. And it's also just really fun.
Yes.
So I'm putting Ruthless Technomancer on I'm going to peg it as my strongest card, which is most consistently performing. That's how I viewed this one.
I think I have that card in like 3 or 4 different decks.
It's so fun.
It performs very consistently.
It's great.
It's so good.
What do you have?
Okay, my strongest card costs a little bit more mana. It is a finisher, and that's probably why I see it as the strongest card.
Okay.
Brand new from Baldur's Gate. Brand new from 6 months ago. is Astral Dragon. Astral Dragon is a 6 blue flying 4/4. When it enters the battlefield, you get to make 2 copies of a non-creature permanent, but they are 3/3 dragons instead of their permanent, or in addition to their permanent type. in addition to their other types. And they have flying. So just 8 mana to create 2 copies of the most powerful permanents on the battlefield. I'll take 2 Smothering Tides. I'll take 2 Rhystic Studies. Sure, they're going to be 3/3 creatures, but you're still going to have to remove them. And in the meantime, I'm going to have both of those permanents. It is at 8 mana, and you're probably not going to do it for like a value piece like that. And I've been putting this as a combo piece with Cursed Mirror in most of my decks.
Which is that's cool.
Yeah, for 2 and a red, you get a red mana rock that enters when it enters the battlefield. You can have it be a creature on the battlefield, except it has haste. But if it's just a Cursed Mirror and Astral Dragon makes 2 copies of it, then those 3/3s will have haste and they can enter as copies of Astral Dragon. And then it goes infinite and infinite and infinite. Astral Dragon does have a few other infinite combos. I haven't seen a lot of other people win with it, but I see a lot of people add it into their decks, which makes me really happy. And I have definitely won with this combo a few times. Something you could search up. It does cost, you know, 8 mana on the turn after you cast Cursed Mirror, or you cast Cursed Mirror and don't have it come in as a copy of anything. So it's still going to cost 11 mana to get the combo off, but very doable.
Yeah, I think I've only seen Astral Dragon come down once, but every time you see it, you go, uh-oh. Spaghetti-o.
I want that. I want that.
Yeah, it's very strong. All right, and our favorite Magic the Gathering purchase that we made this year. So this was a purchase. Mm-hmm. So I had to scour. I was like, what did I buy this year? And then I looked at everything and I was like, too much.
Too much stuff.
Too much stuff.
Did you choose too much?
I did not choose too much, but I did choose 2 things that came together in a package.
Okay.
Okay.
Fair.
Which was from this summer. Mm-hmm. And I bought Artist Proofs of Jirag Ghagari Lichlord and Niambi Esteem Speaker from Eric DeChamps. Beautiful. So they're gorgeous. And it took me a while to decide if I was going to honestly purchase Artist Proofs, because like for a while I wasn't sure if I was a fan of foils. And then I said, I am.
Sure.
I like foils.
Sure.
I don't like the curling, but I like the foils.
Sure.
I like shiny, and I started to foil out some of my decks, right? So Noyan Dar, World Shaper is fully foiled, except for 3 cards now, because now I have actually added some new stuff. Sure. And I haven't gotten the foils yet. But Niambi Esteem Speaker is pretty cool, and I started picking up foils of just random legendaries, because it's just blue-white legends.
Yep.
And then Jirag's a really fun deck that I have actually enjoyed way more than I thought I was going to enjoy. So I didn't know if I was going to purchase Artist Proofs, and I said, I'm going to jump on the bandwagon here. So I purchased 2 of them. I got them with signatures, and I got them with sketches on the back. So Eric DeChamps will add an actual sketch of the art of the card. So it personalizes it, right? Because none of them are going to be the same.
Yeah.
One sketch on a Jirag is going to be different from a sketch on another Jirag. Yeah, they will not.
Even if it's one line, it will be different.
Yeah, they will be different. So those are really cool. I'm running them as the commanders in paper, and I'm running them in clear sleeves so that I can flip it to front and back so I can see the art. I think that's my favorite purchase that I made this year. I think they're really cool. I just purchased some more. I got a Malcolm, Keen-Eyed Navigator, and the Jin Gitaxias, the OG Jin Gitaxias, but the Secret Lair version and the Phyrexian, the Phyrexian text version. And those are really cool. But I'm going to go with the original ones because I spent a lot of time trying to figure out if I was going to get them, because I don't know if I wanted to get them for a deck I might take apart.
It's true. You
know? And I don't think it's those tough. Decks are going to come apart. I've kept Noyan Dar together for over 5 years now.
Yeah, you should keep that together.
So I think it's fun. And I think Niambi and Jirag, I've hit that point where it's like, I continue to have fun. Mm-hmm. And every single set that comes out gives me something I can reanimate from the graveyard, because every set has a creature. And every set has a new white or blue legend. So I will always be able to change up those decks.
Heck yeah. Good choice. I like your choice.
Yeah, it was fun.
I would say that I got a pretty good deal on a case of Baldur's Gate collector's boxes.
Ooh.
But that's not my favorite purchase, but definitely my second favorite. I think I got it for like $400, like a whole case of collector booster boxes.
I don't know how much they cost, because I don't usually buy collectors.
Quote unquote retail that they don't do anymore is like $150 per box, and I got 6 of them. For $400. So it was a very good deal. But my favorite purchase was also a collection of purchases, not 2 purchases, but I put together my 40K in a box.
Yes. So, and that's what I thought you were going to say, because you sleeved them all up and you can just bring around this bundle.
Yeah. So it's a Game Genic cards lair that was on sale on Amazon. And that was my inspiration.
You know what's funny? And before you continue, I do love a good, I got a sale.
Yeah.
Here's how much it was. But you should go check it out.
This one thing was on sale, and then it caused me to purchase all of these other things to spend way more
money.
Okay,
continue.
So the Game Genic cards layer is what everything is housed in. Everything is in KCI Perfect Fits, including tokens. Dragon Shield matte sleeves. Each deck has its own color so that you can differentiate between them. Commanders are also sleeved up in the same color. I typically sleeve my commanders up in alternate colors, but this way you can run the alternate commander without having to re-sleeve anything. I sleeved up all of the tokens in clear dragon shields because they're double-sided tokens. You can have them. There's four life counter wheels in this box as well, which only come from the commander anthology sets. And if you want to buy them on eBay, the cheapest you can buy them is like $12 or $14 a piece.
They're expensive, but they're also really nice. They're
so nice. And then a bunch of D6s. So you can sit down with this box, open it up. I prefer with play mats, but you don't have to bring your own play mats, but just with this box, you can open it up and play a 4-player game that will last at least 2.5 hours of 40K pre-cons, because the games have never lasted. I've played the 40K pre-cons all against each other 2 or 3 times, and every single time the game's gone at least 2 hours easily.
Is it because of thought paralysis, or is it just that there's always answers?
It's both.
There's three
board wipes in every deck kind of deal, and they come out at just the best or least opportune times.
Yeah, best for you, least exactly. Yeah, least opportune time for the person who's like, I could have gotten there. Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, this year has been really, really great. So let's take a look. There were a few more things that happened this year.
A few more.
For us, right? So we had Command Fest Indianapolis.
That was really fun.
So much fun.
Drove down to Indy for, what was it, 3 days?
Three days. We did the whole weekend. We stayed there. We had so much fun. Got to see a lot of our content creator friends, meet lots of new people, and play a ton of Magic.
So much. So many games.
So much fun. And two Commandy Fests we're dubbing these. We visited the Scrap Trawlers for Commandy Fest Wisconsin,
and then they visited us
for Commandy Fest Michigan. So we had those events, and I think those three events, these Command Fests, which those are where I got at least 50 games from those three events.
Oh yeah. Those, I mean, it's just nonstop, right? It's like 15 games a day or whatever, and it's 45 games.
The last one of the year was Commandy Fest Michigan. Mm-hmm. I played 19 games.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And that was only a 1-day event, but I played some the night before and some the morning before. But I mean, I probably played 15 games in a day, and that is all day.
Yeah. It was a lot of command. It's like after that, I think we record the podcast episode early that week, so it felt great to not do anything on Tuesday.
We did, and we also recorded two extra second mains that week while the Scrap Trawlers were here. One of them will be out this week.
That's right, with Nick. Lucky Paper Radio also released their commander map this year, which is really cool. We did an episode on that, and we've used it a few times when talking about some of our tribe episodes.
Yeah, we need to contextualize some things and just take a look at what's out there, and it's nice to see. You can search EDHREC, and that's where their data is coming from. You can search EDHREC, and you can see cards that are in decks and how many decks there are. But the map is a nice way to visualize some things that you might not see from just looking at a few different screens.
Super good tool. I still use it today to build decks.
I love looking at it. We found some cool deck names from it.
It does crimes.
It's so much fun. We started streaming this year, everybody. We're back to streaming 2022. Our last stream is coming up this week, and we did not miss a stream this week, even though I had some work travel come up. You had a week where your power was out entirely, we've both been able to host, mm-hmm. and we had... so many new friends and returning friends on the stream. If you, by the way, are not following us, we did have to change. We didn't have to. We set up an actual Twitch account for our show. We used to stream under mine. Mm-hmm. It did not make sense. We should have a Twitch account for the podcast. But on Twitch, you can't change your name. You have to just start a new account. So we started over. So if you were following us 3 years ago or two years ago and you're not now, that's why. It's not that... you miss something.
Yeah, we are on every other Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern time.
Exactly. So come hang out. Our last stream is, if you're listening to this the day it comes out, our last stream is tomorrow.
Yeah. We also almost got to interview Matthew Lillard from Beetle and Grimms. We were in the talks about setting up an interview with him. It unfortunately didn't work out for timing, but we did get to do a product review of their Neon Dynasty Platinum Edition, which was that was our first product review that we ever got. The first thing that
we didn't live. We got to open that. That was so cool. Thank you, Beetle and Grimms, for sending that to us.
So much.
We had continuing on the Neon Dynasty. Yeah. It's just my favorite set. Like it's it added awesome. To that time frame. It was so much fun. cool light up playmat, awesome backpack, awesome deck sleeves, deck boxes, mm-hmm. lots of counters.
Still using everything today. The magnets are still strong as heck on the deck box. I got my first ever trade binder that I made from the trade binder with Tamio's adopted son.
It's Nashi.
Nashi, yeah, with Nashi on the artwork.
Mike has a trade binder.
I have a trade binder. Come trade with me.
Come trade. We started editing our show on our own. Yeah. So producer Ryan moved away this year, and we are sad that we are not meeting with him in his studio every single week now. But he is still doing very well. And I think it's been since, and I checked it. I think it's episode 163. It might be episode 162, but we announced it officially on the show, episode 163. So it's been a couple months now. And we appreciate you sticking with us as we learned all of the tips and tricks. We also switched all of our audio equipment. So we were recording remotely, and we were
just using our Blue Yetis.
Just using our regular streaming mics that we use. And we are now using actual professional equipment. But then we weren't sure how to change all of our audio settings. And there are still some weeks where, some folks have said, hey, I got some feedback, or this person was too loud or whatever. Right. And so we appreciate all that feedback. And thank you for sticking with us for that first, 8-week period where we were trying to figure out how to edit our own show.
Yeah. I think the show was like really, really quiet for the first few edits and stuff. So I learned how to boost the volume, which sounds so elementary. Learn how to boost the volume.
I told Mike, here was my one request. This is funny. I told Mike that when I listen to folks' podcasts, I do it usually when I'm cutting the grass. Mm-hmm. And if I can't hear someone's podcast over the lawnmower, it's a problem for me. And I don't usually listen then, because it's just, I'm outside for like 3 hours doing, blowing off the weed whacking, doing all the stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I can get through I can crush like 3-4 podcasts when I'm outside. And at one point I was cutting the grass and I wanted to listen to our show. And I was like, I literally cannot hear it. Nope. And I said, Mike, you've got to fix this. Yep. And he goes, all right. I
figured it out.
I'm on it. They figured it out. And now you can hear us. So if you're in your car and our show is very loud, you don't listen to it on your full volume. That's because we kind of figured out what we needed to do.
Yeah, you're welcome. Hopefully it didn't startle you the first time. And although they have not reprinted Guardian Project yet, which we expect to be our first ever official preview card,
please give it to us.
I personally got to participate in Mr. Bever's preview for Relic of Legends, which is my first ever participating in any card preview. So that was really cool to be able to be a part of that. Oh my God. I played it in like 5 different decks. It's so good.
Great commander card. And last, this happened this year, we made sleeveless decks.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a ton of other stuff that we did this year that we don't remember. But it's been 12 months.
I have bad memory.
I can't believe the time has already gone. I messed that up. Where is the time gone? Small talk. I can't believe it's already almost 2 years.
Last time I saw you, you were half an inch shorter.
Thanks, Uncle Mike.
Did you lower your ears? Have you gotten a haircut in the past 12 months?
All right, that's enough with that joke. It's been a wonderful year. We've had a great time. Lots of stuff happened. Lots of cool product came out. And we can't wait to see what happens in 2023.
Yes, looking forward to it.
Thank you all for listening to us. And that's it for this week. If you want to find me and chat with me more, I'm on Twitter at Andy Flory.
And I'm on Twitter at Wormcoil Engine. Both of us are on our personal Discord, our Guardian Project Discord. Find that in our pinned tweet on Twitter. And to all of you, thank you for a wonderful 2022. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you next week.